All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Hello, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is Brilliant Ideas, and like the man says, the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show coming to you again on another Saturday morning where we never know what's going to happen. We have no clue. All we know is we start off good, and the rest of it goes downhill from there. Good morning, Laurie. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, I'm wonderful. And again, another beautiful weekend on this little tiny remote island. What a day.
Yes, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and then we've got Brian. Hi, Brian.
Good morning. I will overlook the turkey comment on the post, on the link.
Wasn't that good? Wasn't that good?
And I want to know something. Is Lori now our weather girl? I guess she is. She's reporting
she's
the weather
news.
Every week.
Right, food news and weather,
you know,
all wrapped up
in
one.
No, you know what? My birthday was yesterday, as a lot of people may or may not know. But in November, through the years, I always remember, it's always like in Jersey anyway, misty, cloudy. It would rain. But you know what? I have Brilliant now, and the sun is always shining. But yesterday was the most beautiful birthday. What a sunset here on the island. The sky was orange. And I'm not going to go into all the gifts he showered me with, because it would take a whole episode to continue on that. But
I
had a fantastic birthday. Thank you, Killian.
It was a beautiful day, except it was a beautiful day, except you were with him. I mean,
and happy birthday, Laurie, again and again
and happy
again. Let me say, oh my God, okay, she must have like 8,130 messages from people on Facebook. Happy birthday, Laurie. You're the best, Laurie. Happy, 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 happy birthday. Well, you know, when it's my birthday, I'm lucky to get like 16. And it's just like, of course, the good news is I don't have to worry about answering all those people. She's been busy since last night and today answering everybody back. But it must be cool to be popular.
Yeah, look, I was going to say, if you get 16, I probably get 8.
Oh, wow. Oh, well,
friends. I'm very blessed. I've always had a lot of wonderful friends. And look, you got to be a friend to have a friend. So I try to be a good friend.
And we had a great birthday dinner last night. I think I mentioned this to you, Brian, this morning. And for those listening, and I know I'm always – people laugh at me with my tinfoil and my cooking. Oil. But, okay, Laurie, how was the dinner last night? What was the word you used?
Elegant. It was actually – it was elegant. The way he made these chicken thighs, he rolled them with sweet peppers and onions – panko on top, but little strips of bacon. But the way you baked it, and then spices, of course, it was just a very elegant chicken dish, the way you made it. It wasn't your typical, barbecue on the grill. you know, it was very, it was,
hey, Brian,
it was amazing.
Have you ever
I still
heard,
say, where's
you,
where's the picture? I don't know if this elephant
looks
like I can see it.
I
we
swear,
forgot.
I said, we got to take a picture of this, right? And then we were started eating it, and we're like, we did. It was like so mangled, you wouldn't want to like look at the platter after. We just were devouring into it. It
talk
was a mess.
Talk to me when you send me a picture. That's it. That's it.
We'll just have you for dinner one day when we get settled.
Let me ask you something, Brian. Have you ever heard brilliant food and the word elegant ever used together before?
No, it kind of made me a little sick this morning.
Oh, well, okay, I got to do what I'm supposed to do. I got to announce who's going to be on the show, because those people who may be downloading this on their iPad, their iTunes, whatever iThing you have, then you don't know because you can't see it on your computer. Our guests today are going to be Kathleen Wall from Plymouth Plantation. She was on last year, and
she was fantastic.
It's pretty cool. I'll let her tell you about what they do. They reenact the whole Thanksgiving deal that went on up there in, where was it, Massachusetts or somewhere, I don't know.
In Plymouth.
That way. Anyway, yeah. She comes on and she's going to talk about the Pilgrims and the Indians and the turkey and kind of give us some background about things you probably don't know and always wanted to know about the Pilgrims and the Indians. So she'll be joining us first. And then our special singing guest is Jacob Jeffries. I really like this guy. Laurie and
that's
I were
great.
Listening to his music this morning. He's got some great music, and I think you will like it.
I just watched one of his videos.
Did you?
I haven't even watched his video. How was the video?
No, his video's really cool. It's hard to describe. You know, he's like, you look at the guy, and you're wondering what his genre is, and then you watch the video, and he's just like, you know, it's just very, I would say it's just like kind of esoteric.
Well, that's a fancy word.
Isn't
anyway,
it?
It's like savory, you know.
It's like savory.
I'm going to have to listen to this video after this.
Before we go to the news, I have to take a break, and I'm going to surprise Laurie and play her song. I called this to her. This is the Laurie song, and Laurie and Brilliant song, and her birthday song. If you didn't see the video, thank you very much. I did a fantastic job.
I said so.
Yes, even you said so. Todd Berry, Things a Man Needs to Say, is probably one of our favorite songs. And Todd Berry's been a guest on our show two or three times, and a great guy.
Okay.
And this is a great song. So I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about food news and whatever Brian wants to talk about, whoever he wants to piss off today. And we'll be right back after the song. So don't go away.
Every line
Is over. Let's talk about food news or whatever you guys want to talk about. Laura, you want to go first?
Yeah, because I'm just going to finish up. You know, for those who have been tuning in, they're going to know that for the past few weeks we've had this article. It was about 60 interesting food facts, and I'm going to read them off. I'm on 53, so we only have a few more to go, so I'll just kind of breeze through these, and then we'll have Brian talk about, I think possibly he mentioned some wine to pair with Thanksgiving dinner.
Is that
read fast. Read fast. Come on. Read fast.
Okay. 53. There's an enzyme in pineapple called bromelain that helps to break down proteins, and also it can ruin your taste buds. So the moral of this one is don't eat too many pineapples or you'll lose your taste buds.
Well, you know what? Pineapple juice and pineapples is one of the best tenderizers that you can use on meat. And if you actually put a piece of steak in the refrigerator with pineapple juice on it and leave it overnight, you come back, it turns to mush because it has that bromelain in it, and it actually breaks down, the enzymes break down, and it gets really mushy. So you got to be careful with it, too. But it's a great tenderizer, just a side note.
Wow. Well, you know, you bought me a ham, and we got the pineapples, and I just love it on them. Oh, I love pineapples on a ham.
Pineapple is really good for you. We talked about that a few weeks back, something about how good pineapple is, and it's also good for pineapple juices for different things, for colds and sore throats. And
it's one of the best things for colds, didn't they say?
Yep. Of course,
but
it may eat your throat.
Buds.
Yeah, but it'll eat your tongue off, but it's good for you.
This one, number 54, did you know apples float in water because 25% of their volume is made of air? I love a Granny Smith apple. I love that snap.
Do you like bobbing for apples?
No, I could never do it. My mouth isn't open wide. I could never get the apple. I just didn't want to dip my face in the water, I'm afraid.
Well, you know what?
The weird part,
have you seen that? Have you ever noticed the water? If you ever go to like a Halloween party where they're bobbing for apples, you want to be like one of the first people to do it, because if you're like number 12 or 15 in the line,
oh my God.
There's like
the water is disgusting. half bitten apples.
Yes, and it's gross. They got all kinds of things floating in the water. You don't want to go there. You if you're number one or two, forget about the rest of it. You know, if you're in line late, forget it.
I'll pass. Yeah.
Number 55, we talked about this one a while ago, but the popsicle was invented by an 11-year-old girl in 1905.
Huh.
See? Remember we talking about that a while ago?
Yeah, we did talk about that, but I don't remember what we talked about.
It was a long time ago. It was quite a while ago, but number 56, kind of boring, but crackers, like saltines, the reason why they have small holes in them is to prevent the air bubbles from ruining the baking process.
Well, there you go.
See?
Learn something every day.
And I thought it was to allow the juice from your chili to drip through.
Me too.
These are really interesting facts because, I mean, I really did not know that.
I didn't know that either. And Laurie laughed at
the guy. No, I have to say they were really interesting facts. Okay, listen, that, as we all know, number 57, the reason why peppers taste so hot is because of the chemical compound called capsaicin, which bonds to your sensory nerves and it tricks them into thinking your mouth is burned. Actually,
ah, it's a trick.
John Dilly and Hoboken, this one. I always think of them with the peppers.
It's a
peppers.
Trick. So
it's a
see,
trick.
Really, you really can eat spicy hot food.
Because it's a trick.
Just don't allow your brain to tell you it's hot. That's
okay.
All the power of the mind over matter.
Believe me, there's plenty of things I tell my brain not to tell me. Not that's one thing I'll leave off the list.
You know, the same thing with eating bugs. I mean, now you can eat bugs. Just don't think of it. You're not think of eating one of your charred pieces of chicken off the grill rather than eating bugs.
There you go. He can't do it without saying something bad about my kids.
Yep, exactly. Number 58, I knew this, and I love these. One of the most hydrating foods to eat is the cucumber. It's 96% water. They are so good for you, too. Who would have thought? Number 59.
Actually, wait a minute, back on that. If you have a real rainy season when you're growing cucumbers, they turn out to be crappy. I remember years ago when we had a lot of rain when I was growing cucumbers, mm-hmm. and they get too much water and they just don't taste good. Anyway, go ahead.
59. There are 7,500 varieties of apples grown throughout the world. Can you imagine 7,500 varieties of apples?
Wow.
And if you tried a new variety each day, it would take you 20 years to try them all.
And did you know those 7,500 different varieties of apples have air holes in them? That's why they float?
I know now from my story.
Wait, now I want to know whether they make sure that when they create a new variety of apple that it floats. Because if it doesn't float, then it's, you know, then obviously it's not an apple.
I guess not.
Don't believe anything we say on this show, by the way. I have to tell everybody this every week, so don't take us for granted here that we know we're talking about it, because we don't.
This is
and
all
number
real.
60.
What are you talking about?
Oh, boy. Should I say this one more time?
60.
And number 60. Carrots, we talked about this too, used to be purple. Ta-da, I'm done. It took like 3 weeks to read these 60 things.
Why did they change them?
I don't know. Where's the carrot?
You know what? I'm sorry, but they should have, you know, when they listed these things, they should have gone out with a bang. And I just think that they went out with a whimper.
I feel the same way. I'm like,
you know,
I should
have gone out with the one with the jelly beans have shellac on them or something.
Yeah, they should have.
All right. Now, by the way, Brian, did you do your homework?
Did I do my homework?
Oh, I did my homework. I know what he's
saying. Homework?
Last week, remember I told you I wanted you to find out what the E in Chuck E. Cheese stood for?
I thought Lori was doing that.
No, I said I'll do the pretzel. No. I said I'll do the pretzel.
I
and you know
it.
What? I get the star because I did the pretzel.
All right, I did it. I knew you wouldn't, Brian. Okay, everybody.
I don't even know how to spell Chuck E. Cheese because I've never even been near one.
I know everybody's been waiting a whole week for this answer, but did you know that the E in Chuck E. Cheese stands for entertainment? And this is pretty cool, too. The mouse mascot for Chuck E. Cheese started out, he was a cigar-smoking New Jersey rat. And he was originally going to be named, listen to this, he was going to be called Rick the Rat. But they changed the name after they got suggestions from a PR agency that wasn't probably a good name, and him smoking a cigar was not a good idea.
And they probably paid that PR agency a lot of money to tell them that that's not a good name. I could have done that.
Exactly. I could have told them for like $1.59. And they got 577 restaurants. I didn't know that. And they've been around for 37 years. And they were originally called Showbiz Pizza Place and Pizza Time Theater. And then they changed the name to Chuck E. Cheese, which is the name of the famous mouse. If you've ever been to a Chuck E. Cheese, you'll see the big giant mouse who sings and dances and all does that. But anyway,
I thought the Chuck part was for Up Chuck, because that's about all I can think of when I think of Chuck E. Cheese. Okay,
no.
Now I've pissed off all the Chuck E. Cheese people.
I
there.
Told you they have
I've
the best
started.
Pizza. They've got great
yeah,
pizza.
Well, if I go by your palate, then, you know, if the rest of the world went by your palate, then we'd really be screwed. So.
And, Laurie, I know you were going to talk about the praying pretzels, but I don't think we're going to have time to do that. You want to hold
yeah,
that over until next week?
I was just thinking, yeah, it's kind of it's really a nice story. And, Brian, I have to give you kudos because you did mention about Pennsylvania Dutch, I think you said, or something. Mentioned that
mm-hmm.
probably where yeah I mean the story kind of goes on and on but
yeah,
yeah
we
you,
talked
you
about
were close
it last
with
week
that.
So now you're going to have to wait till Laurie tells the story next week but why
mm-hmm.
the pretzel they said it was designed because it's supposed to like praying hands and Laurie did some research on it and it's kind of interesting
nice
but now you got to wait and come back next week to listen to the story now hey, Brian you've got 8 minutes to talk about Thanksgiving wine go
Well, I thought maybe I would talk about, you know, pissing more people off.
No, talk about some water.
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving, what do we want for Thanksgiving? Turkey, cranberry sauce, stuffing, a lot of rich food, traditions. You know, there have been a lot of traditions about Chardonnay with Chardonnay and Pinot Noir because good acids, but I mean I tend to think that people drink the wrong kinds of Chardonnays and Pinot Noirs, and they don't necessarily go with food. I like to buck the tradition and go in a different direction. Of course, you also have your Beaujolais Nouveau, which is going to come out next week, the third week in November, and I think the fascination with Beaujolais Nouveau has kind of died down. I've seen the trends from my days in retail to my days in wholesale where people are buying less and less of that. But it used to be an obsession. And I couldn't wait for that Thursday, you know, the third Thursday in the month of November to get their Beaujolais, you know, because
well,
it was,
the bottle was pretty, too, though. You know, people don't buy a bottle.
Depends on the producer. You're thinking of one producer. You're thinking of one producer that made very flashy bottles, but actually
mm-hmm.
made the suckiest wine, as far as I'm concerned.
It was horrible wine. Yep.
Well, let me ask you a
yeah.
question. My feeble mind doesn't remember. What is that wine again? What's so special about it?
It's Beaujolais. Beaujolais is in the region of Burgundy. It's the south region of Burgundy, and Beaujolais is made from the grape Gamay. Now they make some beautiful Gamay wines that are. You know, serious wines, but this is young wine. It's like the first wine produced. It gets produced really young. It gets produced very quickly. And what they do is they do a process called carbonic maceration, where the grapes ferment from within the skins.
That sounds
kind
of scary.
And it's really young.
Yeah,
and the wine, you know, kind of takes on this really bright, you know, almost bubblegummy type character to it. It's like as if you made wine at home and it fermented for a couple of weeks and you couldn't wait to drink it. That's kind of what Beaujolais is. It's just really, really young. It's become this trend. You know, it's like the first wine produced in France and they have this big festival about it. And then we got obsessed with Beaujolais and it became a big Thanksgiving thing. You know, it does go well with turkey, but I don't particularly care for the style of wine. I like wines with good acids, and, you know, I think of Pinot Noir is good. You know, since I've been on this Austrian kick, Zweigelt, you guys got to try a Zweigelt. Like, I think I gave you a bottle of Zweigelt or something with Zweigelt in it. And the white from Austria, Grüner Veltliner, great minerality, great acids. So, you know, I always look for alternatives. A lot of people like Rieslings. You guys like Shiraz or Syrah.
Yeah,
I think Syrah
sure.
or Shiraz are great for a turkey that's, you know, maybe even fried or
can
certainly, you know, more seasoned, heavily seasoned.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
I have to read something that's so funny, and then you can go back to talking. God, it's the longest 8 freaking minutes of my life, but you can talk about why when I finish here.
I've been on for like 3 minutes. What are you talking about?
I know.
I'll get back to pissing people off because obviously I'm just pissing you off now.
William Horn posted on Facebook the funniest line. I have to read it. He said, to tell you, Laurie, carrots are orange because if they were still purple, they'd be beets.
Aww. Actually, you're right. I think of beets. When they say carrots used to be purple, I'm like, no, that's a beet.
All right, go back to your wine story. You got 4 minutes.
I'm interested.
Seconds.
I love it. Continue, Brian.
You know what? I'm not talking anymore. You guys can do whatever you want. I'm not talking anymore because I'm just tired of being interrupted.
Oh, please, Brian, please tell
us more.
I'm
done. I'd rather talk about why they have 3 different meat classifications at Quiznos when you can't taste the difference between the 3 of them.
Yeah.
Oh, good
job. Let's talk about that. Tell the story.
I like Quiznos. They're not bad, and you can always, they have the little condiment bar where you can add your own peppers and, you know, extra stuff. The sandwiches are not bad, but I went in, I don't know, it was about a week ago. I went into Quiznos, and I never really paid attention to the menu. I was just like, okay, I'm going to order the steak, whatever. And I'm looking at one thing features Angus beef. One thing features sirloin, and one thing says roast beef. Now, the meat is sliced really thin, and then most of the time it's put in this jus to heat it up, and then they, you know, put it on the sandwich, and then they run it through this little, you know, oven conveyor belt oven thing to toast it. Can you tell me that you can actually taste the difference between Angus, tenderloin,
sirloin,
and the sirloin? Yeah, that's what I said, sirloin and roast beef. When the meat is cut that thin, and then it's been like cooked in a little bit of, you know, beef stock.
Well, let me give you an example. It's kind of like your wine.
Okay.
I don't see how you can tell the difference between one brand to another. And one day we're going to have that. We're going to do that test. We're going to do it live where I'm going to give you some cheap wine and some expensive wine and see if you know the difference. So probably, to answer your question, you probably can't tell the difference in the beef. How are you going to know?
Well, and I would say that you probably can't tell the difference in the wine. I probably could tell the difference in the wine, but I probably couldn't tell the difference in the beef.
we're going to do that contest.
You know, and so why is the Angus like $2 more for the sandwich than the roast beef when nobody should know the difference? They could probably put the freaking roast beef on the sandwich and call it the Angus.
You would never know.
So why do we have to have classifications like that? I would still say I like Quiznos. You know,
you guys are talking over one another. Just thought I'd let you know.
Your turn, Laurie.
So I was going to say, next time, I've never been to one, but what I would do is when you go next time, ask him to taste all 3. Buy themselves separately before you pick one and taste and put the au jus on and see if you can taste the difference. I want to do a tasting right now. Give me all 3 of those slices by themselves. I bet they would do it.
Well, we'll have
I
to
bet you they wouldn't.
Out.
And I bet you wouldn't know which one they were giving you.
Probably not.
Because they're all sliced the same.
So paper's in, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you've ticked off Quiznos. Actually, I went to Quiznos a couple months ago, and I used to like their sandwiches, but they've done something different. It didn't taste as good. It was okay, but I don't know what they're not as good as they used to be. I think they're cutting back on quality because of cost or something. Who knows? But anyway, we've pissed off Quiznos. Anybody else you want to piss off?
No, I think I'm done for today. Look, I piss off you every day, so that's an achievement and an accomplishment that you know, I always feel good about. So
yes, well, congratulations. You do a very fine job at that too. All right, we got to go take a break, and then we'll be bringing on our first guest, and Kathleen Wall. We're going to be talking about pilgrims and Indians and Thanksgiving and turkeys and what have you. Be right back here in just a couple of seconds.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
And that's why he cooks on it, and that's why I cook on it, the Big Green Egg. Go to www.biggreenegg.com and go find a dealer. All you do is plug in your zip code, and there'll be one near you, and there's Big Green Eggs everywhere now. And I have been a wimp because of the weather and the cold. I haven't been out using my Big Green Egg, but everybody knows.
Well, it gets dark early, too.
It does get dark early. I always have some kind of excuse why I don't want to go do it right now, but... Check out Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com, and it does make fantastic food. And like I always say, if I can do it, anybody can do it. It made my cooking much better. So anyway, biggreenegg.com. Now let's go to our first guest, Kathleen Wall. And she was here, I think she's been here once or twice before. Anyway, she usually comes around Thanksgiving time to talk about the pilgrims and the Indians and the cranberry sauce and the turkey and everything that's Thanksgiving-y, and everything's working. We should have Kathleen Wall joining us. Good morning, Kathleen.
Or afternoon. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show, you lucky lady.
Thank you. This is always interesting, if nothing else.
Exactly.
Yes, it is. Well, first of all, let's talk about Plymouth Plantation. And those who may not know, because I've got it here on the website, and they can click and go to your link, but tell everybody what you do and all about Plymouth Plantation.
Well, Plymouth Plantation is a living history museum, and we have several different sites on our museum. When people think of pilgrims, they're thinking more of the 1627 English village, which is where I spend most of my time. We also have the replica Mayflower II, which is like the ship that brought them in 1620. There's Hobomok's home site, which is our native encampment with Wampanoag people telling the story of the other people who were here in 1620. And we also have our newly renovated craft center that includes our new Plymouth Bake Company. So we have an indoor wood-fired oven making up breads of the 17th century.
Now, you actually, you're all dressed up in the garb of the 1600s, right?
In the 1627 village, we are dressed as if it's 1627 village, as if it's 1627 Plymouth. And we speak in the language as if it were 1627 Plymouth.
Give us a little taste of the language of the 1627.
So it would be, God grant you good morrow, and how fair is thee this fine day?
Oh, I love that.
A jolly good day.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you want to see this, actually, for shameless self-promotion, Top Chef came to film with us earlier this summer, and that episode will be airing on Wednesday when they get to cook up a Thanksgiving dinner in the way the pilgrims cooked.
Cool. So that's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm in costume and some. Well, they shoot a lot of footage, so it's hard to know exactly what's going to be there, but I am in costume. They do spend a little bit of time with Sarah Jenny, so that's my 17th century alter ego this year.
Yeah, let's hope they show the part where you're in costume and not out of costume. That would be a whole different Top Chef.
Yes, exactly. So I go by a different name and I use the funny voice the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Well, now, if people want to go there, now, is this open year-round or only certain times during the year?
We're open March through November because we are an outdoor museum in New England, and we've already had snow twice this month, so that tends to keep people away. So we'll be open through the end of November because you can't be the pilgrims and not be around for Thanksgiving, and lots of people come to see us. In the next 2 weeks, we have pretty heavy visitation, regardless of the weather.
Are you actually open on Thanksgiving Day?
Oh, yes, we are open on Thanksgiving Day. It is historically our second busiest day of the year. The day after Thanksgiving tends to be the busiest day of the year.
Very interesting. All right, so yeah. I was looking at your website this morning, and I'm sure you get crazy questions about the pilgrims. Now, I think last time you were on, we actually talked about a few things, but I saw one that someone asked on your website, which is hilarious, is did the pilgrims bathe? Now, I don't know why someone would ask that question, but did the pilgrims take baths?
They occasionally. They thought putting yourself in water was a little dangerous, that it would unbalance your humors, and it might bring illness. So they would wash their hands and face, and maybe their feet, but otherwise they would change their clothes to keep clean.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This
kinda
is like
me.
Maybe the century of, like personal hygiene is really low down. Like, this is like an all-time historic low in the early 17th century for European hygiene. And then they start to get better. But when you think about it, you have to carry the wood in to heat the water. You have to carry the water in, and then your house is cold most of the time. I mean,
right. That's
going to limit how much you're going to want to bathe. Like, it might really have been unhealthy to get into a lot of water most of the time.
Very interesting. Now, here's another question.
Catch chills coming out. Wow.
Yeah.
The buckle shoes, did they really wear buckle shoes?
No, there were buckles on things, but not necessarily on shoes. Most of the ordinary shoes were tied with laces. Really nice shoes that you're not going to be seeing for farmers in Plymouth Colony, but for gentlemen back in London, would have silk ties and silk roses attached to them.
Very interesting. Now, one other question I have, and I'm sure Brian and Laurie may have questions too, but I always see them in cartoon versions of pilgrims. They always have guns that have these giant barrels on them. They're like three times the size of a normal gun. Do you know anything about their guns and if they actually had guns that had big giant barrels on them?
They had guns. I'm pretty sure it wasn't exactly the big giant barrels, but some of them were pretty long barrels, and they would use what's called a rest at the end of it. So it's sort of a different form. They're not actually rifles yet. They're shooting their flintlocks and matchlocks. So, but it's a generation or two of the guns before the American Revolution.
Of course, I'm thinking of Elmer Fudd when he was dressed up like a pilgrim
and he had a
big musket. So.
He's not exactly like that. He's probably not a good historic source.
Brian, do you have any pilgrim
questions? I have a question.
Laurie,
I go first?
Well, first of all, Laurie, go ahead.
Okay, I have a question about some of the ingredients. I love stuffing. I wait all year. I don't know why. We can always make it, but I wait all year for the stuffing. And I'm curious to hear some of the ingredients that they used back then in the stuffing.
Well, it's really interesting. I just did a workshop on stuffing. First of all, the whole stuffing dressing controversy, it existed back then too. They call it both things. And they have a third name for it, which is pudding in the belly.
Oh, because I know grilling it won't
put
the stuffing inside the turkey. And I'm like, you've got to put the stuffing inside the turkey.
Yeah.
Pudding
and so
in the belly.
They would make it with breadcrumbs. There's a really nice recipe that includes some smoked bacon and some smoked sausage. So I use kielbasa, and then cinnamon and ginger, and then lots of butter and a little bit of wine.
Really? And ginger they used back then? That's interesting.
Oh, yes. Lots of ginger and cinnamon and different spices.
Wow.
And
now,
then
Laurie,
there's another one that doesn't have meat that has cranberries and, barberries, but I use cranberries and raisins and parsley and other herbs in it.
Now, do you stuff it in the belly of the turkey?
Yes, you can stuff it in the belly of the turkey. They also boil turkeys, and then they also bone turkeys and would bake them into pies.
Really?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so some of it's elaborate sort of thing.
Very interesting. See, I don't like to stuff turkeys because there's something about the hygiene. Talking about hygiene. There's something about stuffing all that stuff inside the cavity of the bird. Just gives me the eemie-jeemies. So Laurie and I always have that conversation on Thanksgiving, as she doesn't understand why I don't like to stuff it in the bird. So I make some in the bird for her, and then I make some in the casserole dish for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a good compromise. Well, sometimes you need more than one sort anyhow.
That's true. All right, Brian, what kind of pilgrim questions do you have?
Well, actually, you know, I was going to let's continue with this stuffing. I was going to say that many cultures have different, you know, ideas of stuffing. My wife's family is from Pennsylvania Dutch area and living in PA, and they make something that I never encountered before until I started going to Thanksgiving with them called filling. And it's like a mix of potato and bread. So it's very different.
My
question or comment is, and I guess I'll have to wait till Wednesday. You know, you think about, you know, I could call Grillion the Pilgrim. I call him a mountain man because he's just so rustic and everything. as I'm wondering whether they're going to make these top chefs cook under the conditions that they had during the time of the Pilgrims. Because I would love to see them have to work with basically what I would call stone knives and baskins.
There's a little preview that they've already posted on their website, so I'm not giving any secrets away.
All right.
Yes, they did have to cook over open fire and use cast iron pots and big wooden spoons and all of the things that we have. And they were, I thought, a little, well, of course, the part they captured were the people who were complaining about it. And I wanted to say, put on 20 pounds of woolen clothes and steel stays and then try to cook this.
I can't wait to see this because, you know, modern technology makes everything so easy today that people don't think about what it was like to cook then.
It's there's a certain labor intensiveness about cooking with fire. I think in some ways fire is more specific. You can really regulate fire better than any other kind of cook surface. You need to be practiced at it, and you need to know your fuel, and you need to know your pots and pans. It's hard to walk into somebody else's kitchen and to cook, regardless of what your circumstances are. I'm looking forward to see what they do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They didn't use tinfoil back then, did they?
No tinfoil. No tinfoil. No. No, cast iron. These are cast iron chefs.
Oh, okay. Cast iron chefs. All right, how long have you been playing Pilgrim? You've been there how many years?
I came in 1980, which is more years ago than I like to admit. I came, ironically, for a 10-week position. I started in September. I was going to get laid off after Thanksgiving. I had another job to go to. I had a whole career in front of me. The company I work for went out of business in the spring, and so they called me back and said, would you like to come for the summer? And the next thing you know, it's 35 years later.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, how many visitors do you guys have on an annualized basis?
We see anywhere from 300,000 to a half a million people.
Unbelievable.
And I think this week they're all under the age of 11, and we see a lot of 10-year-olds this time of year.
I bet. I guess it's all the schools bring the kids on a field trip to go there.
They come on a field trip. They learn about the pilgrims, and they have an hour and 10 questions they have to ask.
Well, I can say that I'm one of those 10-year-olds, but I did it as an adult. I've been to the plantation.
Oh, good.
Oh, you have?
I didn't know that.
I have family up in New England, and my wife's sister and brother-in-law lived in Plymouth for a while. So, you know, we've been all up and down New England, and I have been there. I've been to the Mayflower. I've done the whole thing, and it is fun. And we love to do that. We love to go to recreation villages. There's of course Colonial Williamsburg where they do the same thing. You know,
right.
And everybody's dressed in traditional clothing, and it's a working community. You know, the shoemaker is working, and the blacksmith is working, and you know. So we love that kind of stuff, but yeah, it is a great place.
Now, Kathleen, where exactly? What's located? Where and where? How do people find you?
We're in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and you can go to our website at Plymouth, PLIMOTH.org, and you can get all kinds of directions and other information on how to get to us.
All right. And also, now this may be, I'm not sure if I understand myself. You have another site on Facebook that's called Foodways Pilgrim. Now, is that something different than the Plymouth Plantation?
That's
it all tied together?
The
that's
Foodways
you.
Pilgrim is my culinary biography. So
okay.
I started a blog, and blogs want you to start a new Facebook page. So I am the Foodways Pilgrim. So,
you
but a lot of that's pilgrim. About my own family. My mother's from Italy. My father's Irish. I grew up in New England, and I've spent 30 years in the 17th century. So I know about all kinds of weird food, like pretzels you were talking about. Did you know
right.
there's a huge connection between the pilgrims and pretzels? I just
no.
found this out last year.
No.
Well, it's a fake connection. That's why every pretzel company in America says pretzels were with the pilgrims on the Mayflower. And I said, no, they weren't. Pretzel isn't an English word, and it's not a Dutch word. It's German. Pretzels don't come
from. You're right. It's German.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so in the 19th century, some pretzel company decided to give himself a history, and every other pretzel company has picked it up. So I got that was a question I got last year. What about pretzels on the Mayflower? I said, you've got to be kidding. So I Googled pretzels in the Mayflower, and all of these links came up. I said, well, what do you know?
That's funny. Well, believe it or not,
yeah.
I just looked at a snippet, but it said a common origin story of pretzels is that they were created by a monk around 610 in Italy.
Oh, I like that. So they're
yes.
the food of
and
my
then,
people.
And then it kind of goes into like a little snippet of, you know, how it, you know, evolved from there and Germany and all this other stuff. But it's just a nice, I like the whole history of it.
Oh, I do
honestly,
too. No, I think there's,
yeah. like,
there are a lot of Dutch paintings in the late 17th century where there are couples each holding one of the circles of the pretzel
right.
and sort of tugging them apart like
yes.
wishbones.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
really interesting. Yeah, the Dutch call them
that's
cracknels.
They get in marriage. Yep.
Yeah.
So I have another question.
Of
so
course.
If the pilgrims didn't, if they didn't have pretzels on the Mayflower, did they have Cheetos?
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
No.
No. Sorry. They had what's called biscuit, which we now call hardtack, which is the same sort of thing, and they had dried peas, and they had probably rice, and they had salt meat, and they had beer.
Oh, there you
no
go.
Wine
they had
for the
beer?
Pilgrims.
Wait. I
yeah, yeah,
so
yeah. They carried
were like religious
beer.
People. They carried beer, huh?
Well, beer was a common drink for them in Holland and in England, and beer
okay.
was very common to
mm-hmm.
have on ships, but it's a low-alcohol beer. It's like
oh.
a 3% beer. And it, because if you dilute it during the brewing, you get more beer, and it keeps for a long time. And they felt beer offered nourishment to you. Just like sitting in water to bathe is unbalancing you, drinking too much
right.
water would make you too watery.
See, I tried to
so.
Use that same excuse with my mother and told her it was low-alcohol beer, and that didn't work, though.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but, I mean, on shipboard for sailors, because we have a lot of records of what they are buying to provide for sailors, they would have a pound of biscuit a day, so that's a pound of bread, a pound of meat a day. They would have a pound of butter or a pound of cheese. These are not people who live like we do. A pound of butter a day for one person.
Wow.
And a gallon of beer.
They
must have very quick metabolisms.
Yeah. Well, and they needed a lot of calories for the work that they're doing, and that's what I'm
yeah.
talking about, the labor intensity of the work. And also, if you don't have central heating, you need a lot of calories to keep your, you know, yourself warm.
And you know
exactly.
what? You need the extra help. You need the extra help up there because, you know, I don't like to take baths, and I like beer and butter, so let me know if you need any part-time help.
So,
I was
yeah,
thinking
so,
the same
yeah.
thing, that this is a perfect environment for you, Grill.
You should
come
I don't
and visit
like
and check us out.
Oh, well, everybody who's listening, check out plimoth.org, at plimoth.org. org. You can find out more about Kathleen Wall and about the Plymouth Plantation. You can also go to her Facebook page, which is, well, they've got the Plymouth Plantation page, but she also has Foodways Pilgrim, which is her blog, and you find out about her family and also about her, I guess, all your cooking ideas, and they're found there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to write about stuffing, yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And we really thank you for joining us this morning or this afternoon, and I can't believe 35 years, that is amazing. Well, are you planning on staying there for another 35?
I never plan to stay for the first 35. I just kind of do it one day at a time. I get up in the morning, and it's like, oh, yeah, I really want to go to work there.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a good job,
well,
yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us again, and because it's almost Thanksgiving, it's always appropriate to have you on. You're welcome again next year and the next 35 years on the show when it comes Thanksgiving time.
Well, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Take care. Thank you, Kathleen.
All right, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Everyone,
bye.
Check out, if you get a chance, you're up that way in the Plymouth area of Massachusetts, go check it out. And according to our good buddy, the Wine Czar, he's been there and says enjoyable time. And, Laurie, we got to do that sometime. We got to check that out.
Laurie?
What happened to
Laurie? Did we lose Laurie?
We lost Laurie.
Come back, little Laurie.
I hear her talking, but her mic's not working, so I don't know what happened there. I'm going to take a break.
Oh.
And we thank Kathleen again for joining us. I don't know what's wrong with Laurie's microphone. It says she's on, but the light's on, but nobody's home. All right, we'll take a quick break. Our next guest who's coming up is Jacob Jeffries, and I'm going to play one of Jacob's songs. I like this guy, too. He sounds like a little bit like Paul Simon. Kind of interesting.
It's very cool. It's very different.
It is cool. Very different. And check him out on YouTube and also on Facebook. The song is called Handful of Plans. And I'll try to find Laurie while we're gone, and we'll be right back.
I got a wheelbarrow full of cobblestone. I'm gonna lay the path I come on. I gotta lock it with my lover inside. Now when trouble comes, I let it slide. I used to bang down doors, with a handful of plans in an empty room. There's a cool breeze once you rest the heavy load, until then it's a rocky road. Thank you.
That was Jacob Jeffries, Handful of Plans. I love that song. And Laurie, did you decide to come back to the show?
I did.
Where the heck
Yay.
Did you go?
Where did I go?
Yes.
I had another important phone call I had to take.
Oh,
Laurie,
something more important
Laurie?
Than radio show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Laurie,
yes,
Brian.
Can I make a request?
Okay.
Please don't ever leave me alone with him again.
Oh,
I don't know how you did, I don't know how you did that because you were still showing it on the radio show, but I could hear you talking, but I didn't realize you were talking to somebody else, and I thought there was something wrong. We heard your whole conversation. Did you know that?
I swear.
I'm kidding. Okay, well, our guest isn't here yet, but that was Jacob Jeffries. I like that song, and he'll be on in just a couple of minutes. I'm reading a note here. Okay, we're cool. All right, he'll be here in just a couple of minutes, and while we're waiting, let's see. Laurie, do you got any, like, short stories you want to tell?
Well, I could start reading some of the most expensive pizzas because they're just snippets of each one.
Yeah, why not? We go from pilgrims to pizzas. I like that.
Well, be prepared because I've got five of the most expensive pizzas in the world. Brian, you probably know some of these stories, but if you want
why
to
do you
play,
always think that I know everything?
You're the czar.
And you're the czar.
Wait a second. You put me on a pedestal so that Grill can shoot me down. I think you guys are working together now.
We are.
And I thought you were my best friend. You know?
You haven't figured that out yet?
No, because you really do know a lot about a lot of things. So I just, you know.
Well,
anyway, and you know what? You're in the wine business, and so I thought, you know what? You're in the restaurants, and you probably know some of these little stories. But anyway, here we go. If you were to lay flat all the pizzas that Americans eat in a day, they would cover more than 175 acres of property, and that's almost 350 slices per second.
Wow.
I knew that.
No, I didn't think you knew that. Oh, my God. Okay, maize. The restaurant of Gordon Ramsay's in London charges $250 for their pizza. Why, you
wait,
ask?
Okay, wait. Stop here. Stop right there.
All right.
What the hell do the Brits... All right, I'm going to piss off more people. What the hell do the Brits know about pizza? And why are they charging so much money for it? Just because it's Gordon Ramsay? Does he get like this curse at everybody when they spend $250 on a piece of pizza?
Well, what could possibly be in the pie that makes it cost so much, you ask? The pizza is topped with Italian onion puree, white truffle paste, buffalo mozzarella, fontina cheese, pancetta, sep, which is spelled CEP mushrooms, fresh herbs, and then shaved with white truffle shavings that are added to the pie tableside. These truffle shavings are what jacks up the price. Yeah, people order.
All right, first of all, it sounds disgusting, and I wouldn't pay $3 for it.
Uh-oh.
So I'm pissing them off again.
Well,
I mean, pizza, come on.
I bet you my Chuck E. Cheese pizza I was mentioning earlier would be better than that. It sounds better.
I actually, you know what? I would sooner eat your Chuck E. Cheese pizza. Honestly, I would sooner eat that. Because
well,
I just don't understand where people get the idea that pizza has to have a million things on it.
Well, you know, it's something, it's showy, it's, you know, it's pressed.
It's showy to people who have money to spend.
The press worked. But the good thing is they say, you know, with the truffle shavings, it because it's table side, you can let them know how much you want on it, and that's what, you know, either the price is lower or higher depending on how much you have.
Oh, okay, so they have a little scale underneath the slice of pizza
that as they shave more truffle on it,
the weight goes up. How do they know how much?
And
right,
I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, there's another gram. That's another $3,000. And there's another gram. And
I can see him coming to our table, Laurie, and he say, okay, tell me when. I go, when?
You would have been, oh, keep going. When?
Yeah, and Grill gets the bill. He's like, what the hell did I just spend $5,000 on? Those three shavings of truffle that we got.
Okay. What else you got, Laurie?
Any more expensive pieces?
Oh, it goes up. That's from the lowest to the highest. Okay, Bellissima in New York City, the restaurant Bellissima, they charge $1,000.
Oh, boy.
They say we're only on the number 4, and we have already eclipsed the $1,000 mark. And can you imagine how expensive number 1 will be? Anyway, this pizza was born on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, 12 inches of thin crust, and it's topped with 6 types. Now, see, this, I'm like, I wouldn't like the taste of this, I don't think. 6 types of caviar and 2 lobster tails. I mean, when you blend different caviars, I don't know. Wow, does this sound awesome?
Again, caviar and lobster on a pizza. It's a damn pizza.
I'm looking at the show pictures. There's 6 different types of caviar. I mean, that's the salt on the, I don't know. Well, anyway, it says, just exactly how much are these guys profiting from the pie? This particular pizza cost them $720 to make. That means every time they sell one, they're making $280. It's more than most people make in a day. So they make $280 a pizza on
it. If only I had $1,000 to buy a pizza. Wow. Keep going. I can't wait to hear how much the most expensive one is.
Well, this one's $4,200. And it's in glass.
That's number 3?
Number 3, yep. Remember, folks, we are only on number 3. This luxurious pie is named after the British super agent James Bond, known as the Pizza Royale 007. The pizza is sprinkled with 24-karat gold dust, topped with champagne-soaked caviar, and then lobster that is marinated in 100-year-old cognac.
All right, so why do we need to eat gold? All right, actually, gold is good for you, but they use it for joint problems a lot. But
see,
why
I
do we need
you know
to
stuff.
Eat gold?
I didn't know that.
You know, and I'm thinking, when you said, you know, related to James Bond, I was thinking, okay, so the pizza includes a bottle of what was his favorite champagne? It wasn't Dom Perignon. It was Tattinger. Okay? It included, like, a bottle of Tattinger that was, like, 60 years old and probably worth thousands of dollars. So this is why the pizza was so expensive, but obviously not.
Was he the one that said shaken, not stirred?
Yep.
Yes,
okay.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm over here doing something else.
It's trivia. We've got trivia. We went from pizza to trivia. Anyway, here's the next one. This is near Rochester. I don't know. It's called Favita's Family Pizzeria in Henrietta, New York, near Rochester. $8,200.
This
is
ridiculous.
Part is known as the pizza for lovers. I like this one, and I get it. This is why it's expensive. No,
they
seriously.
Better be they better be lovers. They're going to spend $8,200 on a pizza.
Wait, I want to know who in that area has that kind of money to spend on a pizza.
I was thinking the same. You know, I have to admit, Brian,
Eastman Kodak was up in Rochester, so that's a big corporation.
Well,
so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, they say, seriously, $8,200 for a pizza. It better be sprinkled with diamonds. Da, 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 da. Wait a minute. It is sprinkled with diamonds.
Oh.
The pizza doesn't cost as much because of the ingredients. It's the diamond ring and the bottle of Dom Perignon that goes with it.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
The pizza actually fluctuates depending on the size of the diamond the gentleman would like to put to pop the question for his loving girl.
Oh, good Lord. Everyone, wait a second.
It's shaped like a heart. I'm telling you, the pizza's got pepperoni all over it, which is my favorite.
Okay,
all right.
Maybe this is the way Grillion would top the question, by taking you to Denny's or a pizzeria. But someone that's going to spend that kind of money on a ring is going to take his bride-to-be, his wife-to-be, to a pizzeria to pop the question? I mean, you would think that they would spend a little more money on a nice romantic dinner.
I really could stand in a cornfield, and I would be thrilled to death. If he picked a ring of corn and put a ring on it, I'd be happy.
And that's fine.
She guessed it. She guessed what I was going to do.
Fine, but
now
why
I gotta
spend
change
all that money on pizza?
That's what I'm going to do.
$8,200, okay, for a pizza. Hey, Laurie, I'll get you a Chef Boyardee. How about that?
You know, I don't care if you stand there with, I don't, believe me, I don't need any of that.
We don't
need
you
have my love forever.
It's a family-rated show.
I know.
You have my love forever. I don't need a ring for the symbol.
All right, get to the most expensive pizza. We got our guests waiting.
Here we go. Oh, we do? Okay, $12,000. Louis the 13th, Salerno, Italy, $12,000. The price tag is one straight, ridiculous number. And why is it so expensive? Well, it takes 72 hours to make it because the dough is given ample time to rest before they make it into an expensive pie the world has ever known. It is topped with buffalo mozzarella, three types of caviar, lobster from Norway, and cilantro. It is lightly dusted with hand-picked grains of the pink Australian sea salt from the Murray River. And the cost includes service, thank God they say, because this pie is also made in your home. Yes, that's right, folks. Three Italian chefs show up at your home and make it for you in the comfort of your kitchen. And let's just hope they're not staying for the entire 72-hour period because that would be a little weird.
Wow. I tell you what, guys, I'll come to your house and make pizza for you, and I'll only charge you $5, okay? and you can get on your knee and offer Laurie a ring and pop the question or whatever.
You know what?
I will be your chef du jour.
I can get the same deal at Little Caesars, and you don't have to show up. So we'll just pass on that. And I'll get a $5 Little Caesars. All right, we're going to take another break. I think our guest is here. I got to go check. And I'm going to play another one of his songs, which is the first one I really liked, A Handful of Plans. This one's called Worth the Wait. I hope we are worth the wait. He's been on hold for a little while. Everyone, hang tight. This is Jacob Jeffries. We'll be back to talk to him right after the song.
Well, I'm not the one running away. Yeah.
Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, we're doing all right. We love your music. You've got a really interesting sound, and I don't know if you heard us talking about it before you came on the show, but kind of have a Paul Simon slash, I don't know, what's the other, what is your genre? We're trying to figure out what your genre was. I hate that word, but what is your
I know. It's been, that's been the age-old crucible is trying to figure out where it fits in. I think it's probably a combination of a lot of different things. Paul Simon is a huge inspiration, and I, you know what I love about Paul Simon, and maybe you agree with me here, is his ability to tell the story in the verse and then get you singing the verses by the end of the song as well as the choruses. You know what I mean?
That's true.
He's got this unbelievable ability. You fall in love with every part of the song rather than, because everybody nowadays is just looking for the hook. You know, they're like, where's the chorus? Where's the hook? But I love Paul Simon. Paul Simon's got a complete, he's so complete, you know, and I thank you for akinning me to any of his stuff, you know.
Yeah, when we heard the song Handful of Plans, which I love that song, by the way, Laurie and I were listening to it this morning, and I said it reminds me of that song that Paul Simon had. Remember with Chevy Chase? Have you ever, you seen that video, I'm sure, on YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
great,
was that,
great
you can
song.
Call me out or a bodyguard?
Yeah.
Or?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, thanks, man.
So, when we heard that, we said, kind of sounds like Paul Simon. So how long have you been in the music business?
Oh, I've been a slave to the business for like 10 years now. It's been, you know, it's crazy. It's ups and downs and it's a roller coaster, but it's all I've been doing since I was, you know, 15 or 16 years old. So.
Oh, good. And you're in Florida. Do you live in Florida or are you just there doing a gig in Florida?
So this is my hometown actually that I'm here now. I was living in New York for a couple of years, and I was out in the Bay Area, and you guys are in the Bay Area, right, from what I remember?
No, well, actually, we're kind of in the Bay Area, Chesapeake Bay Area. We're in Maryland.
Yeah.
In the Chesapeake.
Oh, no way. I had no idea. I thought you guys were in San Francisco for some reason. But, I've been all over, man, and, you know, it's got its ups and downs, like I said. I mean, it's tough to travel with the whole band everywhere, so oftentimes I'll be in a certain region of the country and I'll have to hire on some really talented guys. Although it's a blessing to be able to hire whoever to play whatever. It still kind of, it messes with the functionality of having an actual band. So, it's cool.
So you actually don't, have a band. It's so, cause I saw your Facebook page, the Jacob Jeffries band. So you don't actually have a band per se that travels, you all travel together. You're picking up musicians along the way.
That's more of the way things have been going. Now I will say when I was starting out, in Florida, in South Florida, I had a band together and it was the same group of guys for 5 or 6 years. And we were getting a lot of great attention from, you know, national papers and national blog sites and whatnot. But we all evolved to kind of move to our own separate parts of the country and pursue different things. So at this point, it's just kind of like a couple of the same rotating guys, and then the rest is just kind of picked up along the way, you know?
Well, now, if people want to find out more about you, too, I need to mention your website, which is jacobjeffries.com, and they can find out more about you and your background. And can they find your music there on your website?
Yeah, definitely. There should be a link. We're trying to keep up with the times and update the website as often as possible. But there's definitely there's some links to the music for sure. It'd be awesome if listeners could check it out. That'd be cool.
Now,
the
how many,
videos are great.
Yeah, your video, that's right, because Brian was mentioning your video earlier in the show, and he said you have a really cool video on YouTube.
Yeah, there's a couple good ones. I think there's one called Crazy Under the Moon, and then there's one called Suffocate My Heart, both of which were filmed in conjunction with this last record that we did, Tell Me Secrets, which is over a year and a half old now, but... yeah, there's tons of stuff on YouTube, and just search Jacob Jeffries, and hopefully you can find it.
So what are your big plans in the future?
Oh, man. Go to Disney World? No. I want to just keep going, keep writing. I'm in the process of writing a bunch of tunes now. My sister's getting married at the end of the year, so I'm trying to write a good wedding song, actually.
Aww.
Yeah, which is difficult, you know, for any songwriters listening. Most songs are about terrible, sad breakups that happen to you along the way. So, like, to force yourself to write a love song for your sister and her fiancé is a very difficult task.
Well, I'll give you a hint. Let me give you a hint. It has love in it. It has heart.
Yes.
It has doves. It has
bluebirds.
Bluebirds of happiness. Yeah, that, throw that in the song. That'll work.
Okay, yeah, thanks. I'll take your word for it.
All right, now, since you're on a food show, I always like to ask food questions. And what is your favorite food when you're out on the road or performing?
I'm a vegetarian, so
okay.
Naturally I'm a little limited. My favorite food, that was the question, right? I didn't hear
yep.
wrong?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Let me interject something here. Every time I ask a vegetarian what's their favorite food, I always get
right.
that blank look up on their face.
Mm-hmm. No, because we know it's funny. The vegetarians that travel as much as I do, kind of they find the nooks in the certain cities that they love to visit, and I keep visiting this same restaurant in Richmond, Virginia, and they have an unbelievable selection of like vegetarian options. They do like a vegan curry chicken salad, like a vegan chicken salad that is
huh.
amazing with like these raisins and celery. It's super, super good.
Wait, which restaurant
is this? Because I live in Richmond.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the restaurant's called 821 Cafe.
Oh, I'll have to go check it out because I've never been there.
Well, I need to know what do they use in place of chicken? If it's not chicken salad, what is it?
I know. I don't ask. It's probably some unhealthy concoction of soy and
well,
I don't even
it's soy protein that they make this mock meat out of. We actually have a vegetarian Vietnamese place right near our house, which my wife just yelled to me earlier today. They're closing. I'm like, oh, well, there goes another one. But, you know, they would use this, it's this soy protein that they use. And it's not bad. It's really not bad, but, you know, it's not meat.
So
yeah.
How long you been a vegetarian?
I think it's definitely been around 10 or 11 years.
Okay.
Wow.
And was it done for health reasons or animal reasons?
You know,
or
here's the, I'll make it a short story. But it was ultimately from an incident when I had just gotten my driver's license. I was 16 years old and, was driving with my sister. This was like a week after I got my license and, it was raining in South Florida and there was a family of ducks crossing the road, and I accidentally hit a few ducks, and I was mortified and devastated and super sad. And I know, and I kind of, like, I don't know, it was an impulsive vow to just, like, not eat meat ever again, and then I stayed true to it for a really long time.
Wow, very interesting.
Oh.
I ran over a carrot when I was young, and I've been eating meat ever since.
You know, people are like, I've heard from people like you before. They're like, well, all you got to do is go hit another duck, and it'll reverse the curse.
No, I kid, but no,
that's
everybody
sweet.
Has their own choices. We talk about that on the show. Everyone has their own choices, whether it be wine or meat or whatever they do, and we don't condemn anybody. It's everybody's got their own free will. So do what you
exactly.
want to do. Whatever makes you happy is what I always tell Laurie, right, Laurie?
Absolutely. I wrote a book. I wrote a children's
yep,
book.
She wrote a book about that.
Oh, nice.
She's, So you're in Florida now, and you're planning on going to Disney World, and then from there you're writing some songs, and you're writing a wedding song for your sister, right?
Yeah, it's a surprise, so hopefully she listens to this after the wedding. I totally forgot that. I didn't want to tell her, and then I said it, and I'm like, oh, dummy. Then I hit myself.
And then I brought it up, and I brought it up again. So you're writing some more music, and do you have plans as to when your next, EP or CD is coming out, or is that far along yet?
You know, I think it's in a little bit. I'm not really sure. There's some traveling plans on the horizon. I'm going to be out in LA until April, and then coming back to Florida for a couple hometown shows. But I'm just going to keep writing, and then hopefully I'll find the best of the bunch, you know, and make a record out in LA probably with some of my friends that have been living there for a little bit, or I have friends from New York moving out there. So I think a lot of people are manifesting the destiny out there, and hopefully we can make a new record maybe in the spring of next year or something.
So you're heading to California and the place you ought to be, so you loaded up the truck, you moved to Beverly, is that the deal?
Exactly, except I have nothing to do with the oil business. So.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, and thank you for joining us and putting up with my crap today. And I'm going to play your last song as we close out today on our show. It's called Florida Sky. Is there any background story about Florida Sky?
Well, you know, I started writing it without any intention of it being about Florida. It's just going to be another stupid love song. and then I guess it just kind of all hit me. I was here in my hometown getting ready to move to New York, and then I just started thinking about the things that I would miss about Florida, and then I just started reminiscing about, you know, in my own head about just growing up here. So I wrote the song about just little things about growing up in South Florida, you know.
All right, well, we'll play that when we close out the show, and enjoy Disney World, and thank you for joining this Mickey Mouse outfit on the radio this morning.
Hey, and you got to let us know when you're in Richmond again, because then we can all get together.
Yeah,
absolutely, man.
That'd be great, right.
I would love to.
I'm not eating that chicken salad, I can tell you.
They definitely, you don't have to. They make all kind of carnivorous options, so you'll be good.
All right, well, take care, and thanks for joining us this morning. Everyone, check out his website, too. You can find it. It's jacobjeffries.com. Check out his music. Check out his videos on YouTube. It's some really great music. And, Jacob, when you get your new music out, come back and see us.
Definitely.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, take care.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right, guys, we're almost out of time, and I like to always ask these questions first to Brian. You got anything you'd like to add before we close out the show?
No, the only thing I'll add is that next week I'm actually going to be up in New York celebrating my father's 90th birthday.
Oh, that's there you go.
Wonderful.
I think that's really, really cool. So I might call in just to say hi, but
put him on the show.
Well, we'll see. You know, I'll have to prep him first, you know, to let him know what kind of a person you are. Of course, he'll have no problem with Laurie, but it may take a little bit of prep to get him to talk to you.
I would love that if he did that. That would be the cutest thing.
Wouldn't that be
but
cool?
We'll
and
see,
he would probably tell us things that Brian won't tell us, so I could ask him like all cool questions about Brian.
Yep, he was a bad boy when he was little.
You could, but he probably won't tell you anything. Because I'll tell him not to tell you anything.
All right, well, I'll tell him to say hello
and goodbye. Which is what I'm saying now.
All right, Laurie, of course, I always ask you the same thing. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
I'm going to plug my website.
Oh,
I know
good
it's not,
idea.
You know, right? It's a work in progress, but Brilliant has done this most amazing, amazing, adorable job with my children's book website. So if people want to go and take a peek at it, myhappybooks.com.
And it is a great website.
And I've been there and I've looked. And yes, it is a great website.
Oh, thank you, Brian. And your books, Laura, you want to tell everybody about your books? You should be ready to sell your books in just 2 or 3 weeks now, I guess, right? Is that the
Definitely,
deal?
Definitely, yes. Yep. They'll be on their way, hot off the press.
Yeah, everybody
they're
check beautiful. It out. She's
they're
got,
keepsake,
she's got,
they're keepsake books.
She's got six of them, and they're all
yep.
children's books, and they turned out fantastic. And I'm excited that she's finally getting her dream to come true, and she's doing her children's
Thanks
books.
Thanks to you,
and,
brilliant.
Yep. I just had a small part, that's all.
Yeah,
and,
great, the best supporter.
Oh, well. And for me, I don't have anything to add other than there will not be any live shows tomorrow night or Tuesday night due to issues with the radio broadcast. So I'll just let everybody know we'll be having replays all week until next Saturday. And I guess that's it. I'm going to play Jacob Jeffries' song, Florida Sky. Thank you, everyone, for joining us again on another Saturday morning and afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are. And we will be back next week to talk to Brian's dad. Everyone, have a nice weekend. Take care.
Cheers, guys.
Sediments, people from before us left behind to find in the wake of a hurricane. No one's the only one stuck beneath the southern sun, sweating about how things just aren't the same. Burning holes in summer skin, turning into rust again, born and bred. Toast and fry as the years fly by under the Florida sky. Swimming pools of drunken fools who told their folks they went to school, didn't learn a silly thing all day. Grew up into modern clowns, stroll around, police the town, drag their feet in a cattle of cliché. Burning holes in summer skin, I'm turning into rust again. Born and bred to toast and fry as the years fly by. Backyard and where I stand right now. All the doors that open for a breeze to waltz across the floor, sweep me up and throw me to the ground. Burning holes in summer skin, turning into rust again. Born and bred to toast and fry as the years fly by. Under the Florida sky.